We have the round table together. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, and yours truly. And guys, let's talk about this game Sunday, which it's a traction opportunity, no doubt. Three in a row, I think, constitutes an official streak, Doug.
Yeah, it does. But the thing is, you know, you look at the Chiefs and they're 2-12. They're a much better football team. A couple years ago, they were 10-6. Last year, they had injuries to Charles, to Barry, and the tight end. This year, you know, I think they're on their sixth offensive coordinator in 6 years. So the talent is there. And, you know, if they put it together, the Browns will have their hands full.
You know, I got to echo everything Doug just said in talking to the guys this week. I mean, there's some real hesitancy about, you know, overlooking this team. And obviously, you never do that anyway. But right. This is much better than a 2-10 squad. You know, talking to the offensive linemen this week, you know, they're worried about this front seven for Kansas City. They say they're a really good, talented group that can do some damage.
And I think we're going to learn something here yet again about this young football team. Do you have the maturity, even though 4-8 is the big picture, and that means you shouldn't take anyone lightly, but two wins in a row can be heady stuff, yeah, especially for young guys, Tom.
How do you handle success? You're exactly right. This team has not had a three-game winning streak since the end of the 2009 season when they won their last four. So I'm with you. It's another, again, you know, developing moment. Are they ready to handle success?
And, Doug, when we saw what we saw last week against Oakland, the way they handled that game, so much of it driven by defense, as has most of the success the Browns have had, but offensively, you know, getting enough done. And again, others might argue you need to do more with an opponent like that, but it did come down to Sheldon Brown making the interception he did to set up that winning drive, and it came down to Brandon Whedon having that composure to lead that drive. Do you feel that they enter this Sunday's game against the Chiefs as a team that has in fact taken yet another climb up the ladder with those accomplishments?
Well, I think, you know, when you win, all of a sudden you start believing in one another. And I think the fact that Brandon led that drive at the end, you know, your offensive players, it's kind of, you know, show me. And if you show them, then all of a sudden they start believing. And when you start calling plays, well, if it's got to work, you know, this will work, you know. And I just think that the offensive line is kind of the key to it, because they've got good production out of them so far. And if they can stay balanced, you know, that's when they seem to play their best.
You know, Vic, and along those lines, I think that confidence it was manifested this week, I thought, in the little bit of practice that we were able to watch.
Right.
I mean, there seemed to be a pace and just a spring in everybody's step. And I think that's what winning does for a young team.
The balance thing jumps out at me, because it isn't just that they throw the ball and run the ball in quantity. The balance within the passing game is apparent. I mean, you get different receivers catching the football. The ball is being spread around. There's a lot of thought and emphasis on that.
What the Browns are saying.
Yeah,
100% right. I mean, you know, once again, we've talked about this all year. The receiving core, I think finally guys understand their roles. I think we finally have identified as Josh Gordon is probably, you know, the wide guy who's going to try to take the top off the defense. You've got Greg Little who can play in the slot. You've got Mo Mass who can play in the slot. You got these tight ends emerging over the last couple of weeks. So I think that's part of the whole thing, is that guys finally understand, now that we're at week 12, you know, they understand their roles.
And you brought up that offensive line, Doug, as I would fully expect you to do. That group is playing. I don't know if we're recognizing enough how well that group is playing. Only 21 sacks allowed is an impressive stat. But I think more impressive, they're doing it with a rookie at right tackle. They're doing it having made a change at guard with John Greco replacing Jason Pinkston because of Pinkston's blood clot, and really not missing a beat.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of their success is they're all pretty smart guys. And, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, you just get a bunch of big hog bodies out there and, you know, you're going to win some football games. But you got to be able to think on your feet. And, you know, you got a guy from Cal at center who's making the defensive calls. So you're not getting a lot of blown assignments in regards to picking up the blitzes.
If you could have a Team Jeopardy contest, I think, in the NFL, I like this offensive line's chances.
You study and know those guys so well, Doug, as again, you should. And you know the mindset and the mentality. But Joe Thomas is a man of few words, generally. And Joe Thomas is a guy who keeps mostly the thoughts, unless he's asked certain questions. Yeah, and he'll give you polite answers and so forth. But he surprised me, I guess, this week by going for him. I use the word going off, but certainly being outspoken about Peyton Hillis and about his time here coming to an end last season, and basically saying what we all knew about Hillis not wanting to be here a year ago. Now he's a Kansas City Chief. And I just thought was that of all people to kind of do that, it came from Joe Thomas.
Well, if you know, you go out there and bust your tail every Sunday, and you got some guy that you know is kind of jerking the team around, it doesn't set well with the offensive line. And I'm sure Joe Thomas didn't vote Peyton Hillis the Ed Block Courage Award. So, you know, I think you know. It's one of those. It's respect for one another. And that's where you get team chemistry. And if you got a guy that's undependable, I don't care how much talent you have, if he's undependable, what good is he to you?
Well, in contrast that to what you have this year, Vic, where you've had Trent Richardson out there playing with, you know, damaged ribs all season long.
Right.
Hustled himself back from the knee surgery to be ready, you know, early on in the season. So I think that might have played a little bit into Joe going off this week as he did.
That's such a great point, Bit, that what you see in this Browns team now is no real question marks about who wants to be here and who's part of the who wants to be part of this. 4-8 is not the record that inspires a lot of that normally that sense of, oh man, I'm really engaged in this. But the truth is the young people like Trent Richardson, Brandon Whedon, and the older veterans like Joe Thomas, I think appreciate the fact that this team's playing very hard, and you don't have a guy in this locker room that you're looking at and saying, what's his deal?
Well, yeah, and then if you know you sit there and you continue to play hard and you watch the films, and yeah, you're going to make mistakes because you're a young team, but you correct the mistakes, try not to make the same ones twice, and all of a sudden you start getting wins instead of you know walking away with 3-point losses.
Right. It's the Roundtable. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, joining me here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tom, the other part of this game is the fact that the Chiefs show up with so many Browns connections, and it starts with their head coach, Romeo Crennel, and, of course, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, Brady Quinn, we just mentioned, Peyton Hillis. What does that mean to this game? Does it mean anything? Because it seems pretty clear when you listen to Pat Shurmur talk about it, understandably so as a head coach, he's treating that like, hey, this is the team we're playing, and the Browns connections – you know, how much of a factor they are is
yeah, I think
whatever.
It's somewhat of a factor, yeah. Vic. I think also we've got to factor in here what the Chiefs have gone through over the last week. I mean, this has been a very trying week for them. So while this was, you know, by a lot of these guys probably circled as some kind of a homecoming, I think this one maybe takes on a little more of a special significance because, you know, they're on the road for the first time since the tragedy with Belcher. You know, as Doug can speak to, you know, road trips can be real galvanizing moments for teams. I mean, it can really bring them together. So what I would worry about from the Chiefs standpoint is that it's been such another emotional week. I mean, their practice schedule was altered this week so they could go to the memorial service for Belcher. Mm. You know, are they going to be emotionally spent when they get here on Sunday? I think it was one thing for them to play last week with Carolina where all this was fresh and they needed to get out there and kind of get between the lines and get this stuff out of their minds. So I think it's going to be very difficult for these guys to play this week.
And, you know, having, you know, watched Brian Daboll here, he's one of those guys, his first 10, 12 plays are usually pretty good. But after that, the adjustments don't seem to take place. Defensively, Romeo, you know, he likes to keep everything in front, try to keep you out of the end zone. He'll give you some yards, but he tries to keep the points off the board. So, you know, with that said, you know how you got to play the game. You've got to execute. See, the thing that's killed the Chiefs is they're minus 21 in a giveaway.
Right.
Takeaway.
Right.
Well, you know, by far the worst in the league. I think the 16 fumbles, 16 interceptions.
32 turnovers.
Yeah. Those kind of numbers will make you 2-10.
What you brought up, Daboll, Doug, does the fact that he has this reputation for being a guy who likes gimmickry and trick plays and such. And not that other coaches, certainly Pat Shurmur, they've got their share of that in the Browns game plan, but the fact that this is kind of his reputation, do you think that puts more pressure on on Dick Geron and the defensive staff to be preparing for that stuff or thinking about that this week?
No, it's, you know, it's kind of like last week when they thought that maybe Terrell Pryor was going to play some snaps as a Wildcat quarterback. You just treat him as a quarterback. I mean, you play your defense, you keep things in front, and you just, you know, eliminate the big plays. And, you might see some trickery, but, you know, you've got some veterans in the back end of the secondaries that should be able to stabilize it. You know, and up front, if you put the pressure on, then you know you don't get an opportunity.
And the Brady Quinn story.
Wow.
He, as much as all that went on last week, as you brought up, Tom, emotionally, he goes out and plays
the game
one
of his career.
Game of his career. And may, you know, now the question is that a one time thing, or if you're Brady Quinn, you're sitting there saying, "Hey, I might be onto something." And what better way for him
to come
keep
back
it
and
going
show the Browns
Cleveland.
That he can, you know, that he could have been the guy here? And I tell you what, there's an argument you could make that maybe he could have been the guy here. You know, had there not been, you know, so much change and turmoil and the Derek Anderson situation and all of that, he could still be the starting quarterback here. It's amazing. Right. So, and the irony too that he's traded for Peyton Hillis, who he's now teammates with. So, yeah, it all comes full circle in the NFL, doesn't it?
And he's teammates with Sean Smith, who punched him in the weight room. Yeah.
Now, that's right. Now, the other part of this, though, for all the case that can be made, and definitely should, that the Chiefs are more dangerous than what 2-10 could imply. I think the best part of this Browns team coming into this game is that it's getting healthier, especially on defense. And when you factor in the return of Dimitri Patterson and Usama Young to the secondary, Doug, I think it makes this Browns defense, which is already playing well, I think it ramps it up so much higher.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the Chiefs are a team that's going to feature the run. They're going to come out. They got a heck of a running back in Jamal Charles. He's probably much like Chris Johnson. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's got that speed. So they're going to feature that. But Brady Quinn, I think they shortened the passing game for him because his, you know, percentages last week were up in the high 80s.
Right.
I think it was a team record.
It was.
So, you know, those are the things you got to look at. Now, we've seen Brady here, and you know, if the wind is blowing, are they going to let him throw any deep balls? You know, it's one of those things.
And the other part of this passing game, pass defense against this Chiefs passing game, Tom, is I look back at last week in Oakland, and it's still astonishing. I've seen it before, but it's still astonishing that half that field disappeared because of Joe Hayden. And Carson Palmer and Greg Knapp, the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, wanted no part of that. And you have to wonder – just how daunting that is. And
it's how it used to be when Deion Sanders was out there, right? You just absolutely eliminate one hash mark and over. So, yeah, you know, we've talked all year about what Joe Hayden means to this team, and it was never more prominent and obvious than last week. But, you know, by the same token, Sheldon Brown did a heck of a job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if they want to go after Sheldon, Sheldon's going to have an answer, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, Sheldon – He's been in the league long enough that he knows how to compensate. When you lose a little foot speed, you give a bigger cushion, but you know you turn your hips a little quicker. And you know, he's a smart football player, and more importantly, he's a tough football player.
He is.
I mean, he's played the last few years on and off with injuries, and he's a good tackler. I think he doesn't get enough credit for his tackling ability.
No.
I tell you, Vic, I'm interested just too to see if the offense builds off of last week. I thought we really saw some things last week. Specifically, you know, over the middle with Gordon, you know, getting the ball and going. I think there's just more
space.
Things that they can do
they
with him.
Space.
Yeah.
That's a great point. All right, guys, we appreciate it. He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us on the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.